You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com. Hey, preppers and patriots. This is the second half of my guest appearance on Prepping Academy with Forrest Garvin. Enjoy the show.
There are churches because, I mean, they're seeing the writing on the wall that are more prepared than school zones. And yet our precious children are in the school zones. And the laws that we have on the books currently, if, you know, we don't need new laws. Let's just enforce the ones we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
We forget everything this kid did was illegal. Shooting on school zone is illegal. He broke the law. I mean, the mental background check. Okay, that's not on us, the citizens. That's not on the NRA. The NRA does not do background checks. As a matter of fact, when you get your background check, that's the FBI and the federal government. Where do they? And there's supposed to be a mental background check. Why? I mean, so that's our taxpayer money is not actually performing the work that it's supposed to be doing. What if we enforce the current laws and exactly as is, and then some of this would be completely eliminated. What happened to the mental background? And if the FBI would have followed through with the reports, even the local sheriff has responsibility there because they knew about it. It was all government that actually failed. It wasn't the citizens. It wasn't me, Forrest, in North Carolina. Why take my rights away and enforce the rules and do a better job at what our tax dollars are supposed to do?
Yeah, they want to take away your rights, and then they want you to trust this government system that failed on every single level, this complete
every
failure
level
of a system, and they want you to trust them for all of it. Yeah, it's bizarre, and I think you start to understand Common Core there, because you know this is the type of thinking that gets you to the point to where you think that that's an acceptable solution. Yes, I should turn in my guns, and yes, I should trust the county that failed, and I should trust the federal government that failed, and I should trust these people with my safety because they know better than me. And you have to have Common Core to get kids to accept that, to believe that, you got to dumb them down with genetically modified food, and you got to shoot them up with vaccines that have got thimerosal and mercury in them, you know, so that they can't think and they're just, you know, just borderline zombies. And that's what they're trying to make.
So, and I struggle with this. Are some of them just not capable of putting dots together to see what's really going on? Or have they been trained to not even do that? I mean, because I have friends that are liberals that believe in, you know, take all the guns to make it safer. And I look at them and I'm like, I really want to just call them names. I'm like, can you not think for yourself? And I don't do that, of course. I just defriend them.
Yeah.
It's easier to do in Facebook than on real life, though. But I just don't understand their mindset. And they don't know history either. And that's another thing that bothers me. I mean, history is going to repeat itself if we let it.
Sure.
So, okay, couple. I mean, that's some great conversation there on that. I wanted to couple of new things. I want to kind of hit you because I feel the mark. You are in tune with what's going on in the survival and prepping industry, this genre, And a couple questions I had for you. Oh, by the way, I can't wait to meet you at Heritage Life Skills on the April 27th through the 29th in Waynesville, North Carolina.
Yeah, Forrest, I can't wait.
I mean, I can't believe you're traveling this far to come to a conference up in North Carolina.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, we may have some, it's a pretty section of country there in western North Carolina, so we may have some ulterior motives to passing through besides just the conference. But yeah, we're going to be there on that Saturday evening for the meet the authors. I'm not going to be exhibiting this year because we just had a baby and she's not quite ready to be manning a booth just yet. So, and mom is not, and I don't think Papa is either. So we're gonna take it easy this year. Just come in, look around, say hi to the folks, and we'll be there for the authors meet and greet on Saturday night. I think that's at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
But,
yes.
Well, I'll be there. I'll be there Saturday. I'll be there Saturday a little earlier in the day as well to say hi to some folks.
You're going to miss our big thing on Friday night we're doing. I have to tell you about that later.
So you tempt me. I don't know. I might have to get myself over there because we're going to be in town. We're going to be in town for a pretty good while on both sides of the event. So.
Well, we're doing an event I've never seen it done on Friday night. We're going to actually plan a mag group from start to finish by breaking up in small groups and letting groups plan different aspects of it. When they all come back, we're going to share the information. Then we're going to actually make photocopies or put it in a PDF and give everyone that information. I believe mag groups, getting into mags, planning mags, is huge. One of the statements I make a lot, Mark, is if you're not in a group, you're going to die when the crap hits the fan. You've got to have a support network. It just can't be you and your family. And you got to have that group. And so I'm always pushing groups to people. You know, find networking. You got to find support teams. You've got to find, you just can't guard your stuff 24 hours a day just by yourself. So you got to have, and you can't have every skill in the book as well. So, but that's going to be on Friday night.
Yeah, you're right. You can't do it by yourself. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, campingsurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at campingsurvival.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com.
So let me ask you this question. Let's take our industry, which is the, we'll call it the prepping / preparedness genre. How do you think that it's a healthy industry right now? Do you think that we have the right people delivering the right message kind of at the right time? I mean, how would you grade us? Because we're a movement, and our movement is growing, I think, leaps and bounds. My listener base is going up. I know yours is. People buying your books. I mean, people are thinking about this. As a leadership person, how do you feel that we're doing? I mean, are there things we're weak at, and what can we do better?
I think the industry as a whole is doing pretty well. I think the following – I think there's a lot of complacency right now. I think there's a lot of Trumpphoria. I think there's a lot of market euphoria, which is probably Trump's a man. he's a very limited man with a very limited amount of things that he can do. He cannot, We had the vote for the 5-month abortion ban go through the Senate, and they couldn't get you have to have a super majority. So but you still had there were still two Republicans that voted against it that would not support a 5-month abortion ban. This is a child that can live outside of the womb with no problem at 5 months. And you had two Republicans vote against that. It was the female senator from Maine and the female senator from Alaska. And they both voted against that. But it also shows you how deplorable a Democrat is, you know. And when they compare a Republicans to Nazis, you know, that's hyperbole. But to compare a Democrat to a Nazi is not at all hyperbole. In fact, it's almost degrading to Nazis because they only managed to kill 6 million Jews while we've killed 60 million. You put another zero at the end of that. Democrats have killed unborn children since Roe v. Wade. And that blood is on their hands, and it's on the hands of everybody that votes to put them in office. And this is why you got to be involved in politics, folks. It's not, this is something that breaks the heart of God. This is something that Jesus weeps over, you know, is politics, because politics isn't budget cuts and funding for the military and food stamps and all that stuff. It is all that stuff, but it's abortion, and it's the lives of our children. And, if you just want to be involved in it long enough to get abortion banned and then cash out and sit home, watch TV, you know, so be it. That'd be fine. I think God would be okay with that. But at least get involved with it until we can get this overturned.
I agree.
Well, I just shot off on a rabbit trail, and I forgot what the original question was.
That's fine.
Oh, the health of the industry. There's a lot of complacency. Trump's very limited in what he can do. He cannot stop an EMP. He cannot stop a solar flare. He cannot stop a Cascadia event. We've seen how limited FEMA is in their abilities to handle disasters. We saw that in Katrina. It took 3 or 4 days to get water to the Superdome. We're not equipped to handle a Cascadia event or a San Andreas event or a solar flare or an EMP, and we are not we're certainly not prepared to handle what's going to happen eventually in our markets, because the downside to the economic prosperity that we're seeing under Trump, which is why we've got so much complacency in the preparedness market, it's that the $7 trillion of new money that was printed under the Obama administration, that's going to start looking for a home when the economy starts picking up. Given that the M2 money supply was $7 trillion when Obama came into office, and it's now doubled, it's $14 trillion now, theoretically, the price of everything should double. Because now you've got twice as much currency chasing the same amount of goods and services. Of course, that's sort of an economic theory, and we know that money doesn't all flow evenly into every single market. If it did, then everything would double. But some things are going to go up 10%, some things are going to triple, other things are going to go up 30%, because it doesn't flow evenly into the market. And, of course, that doesn't take into account the fractional reserve banking system, which, we're on about a 10% reserve system right now. So that $7 trillion has the potential to turn into $63 trillion, because as the velocity of money picks up, and every time you put $100 in the bank, they can loan out basically $90 of that, but then that money goes and purchases something and ends up in another bank, and it gets lent out, and then that gets lent out, and that gets lent out, so that every $100 that goes into the bank through the fractional reserve system has the potential to make about another $900 worth of currency. So now you would have $63 trillion chasing the same amount of money the same amount of goods and services that only $7 trillion was chasing before Obama came into office. And of course, add in the original $7 trillion, now you've got $70 trillion. So that's basically putting a zero behind everything. So imagine imagine your $200 grocery bill is now $2,000. And your $40,000 car would be $400,000. And your $3 a gallon gas is now $30 a gallon. So that's basically what the potential is there for that. It's basically
an
economic nuclear bomb.
Let's not forget that Trump didn't balance the budget yet either. And so he is bringing on $1 trillion a year at least in debt with his new budget that we just passed.
Yeah, nobody wants to be the administration that – because at this, we're at the point now. We're so far beyond the tipping point that debt and deficits and all of that stuff, that's just all going to play out in a catastrophic, cataclysmic event at some point in time.
Right.
Where the currency collapses – and we go into like a Weimar Republic type thing where people are going to the grocery store with wheelbarrows full of money to buy a loaf of bread, and you know, that's just something that's cooked into the books at this point. So no president's really gonna be the one to say, okay, well, let's ratchet back, because you're not going to fix it at this point anyway, because we're so far beyond that line of where it could have been fixed.
And people say there's no inflation, and I actually heard on your show, and I heard it, and I'm like, you know what? That is so true. My bag of potato chips, it used to be a full bag of potato chips, and now it's one third bag of potato chips, and they say there's no inflation. There's inflation that has happened. It's happening right before our eyes. We just don't see it.
Oh, there's absolutely inflation. And like, you don't see when you look out at the ocean and you don't see the undertow out there, it doesn't mean that it's not there, but it's there.
Right.
And when you see somebody swimming and all of a sudden they go under and then they pop up, you know, a quarter mile down the beach, and you say, oh, there's the undertow. And what we saw a couple of weeks back when the market went down 666 points on that Friday, and then the next week dropped had a couple of 1,000-point down days, which are absolutely unheard of. Yes, it's kind of gamed it all back, but those are like tremors before the big one on the San Andreas Fault. And, you know, and if you live in California, maybe you're used to shakers, and you get the shaker and you get a little anxious for the day. And then the next day, things start to kind of go back to normal. And of course, now we've almost regained all of the ground we've lost on the Dow. But that's the early tremors, because that was all triggered by inflation. That was all triggered by bond rates starting to go up, because people are saying, you know, if you've got if inflation's moving at let's say 10% per year, and you've got a government bond paying 3% per year, you're essentially losing 7% per year. So nobody wants that deal. So they're all selling their bonds, and they're taking that money, and they're wanting to buy hard assets. So that's driving up the interest rates, and it's driving up the prices of hard assets, because people are saying, at least if I own a hard asset, if I own real estate or something tangible like that, and inflation doubles, you know, while I may not make anything on that, at least I can preserve my capital. Whereas owning a government bond at 3% and inflation's moving at 10%, I'm losing 7%. So it'd be better to make nothing than to lose 7%. So when we see that happening, that's because the bondholders are seeing the inflation and they're starting to get out, and we're starting to see the interest rates rise up, and we're in such an unprecedented time right now of super low interest rates, and the entire economy's fixated on that, and our national debt that you just mentioned with Trump now racking up another $1 trillion every year. When that interest rate goes from 3% to 6%, We're going to have to print more currency. We're going to devalue the currency that much more.
Okay, now, someone that has written a series on, I think, an EMP and a financial collapse, right? So you wouldn't the Days of Noah, was that not an EMP that happened?
No, the Days of Noah is basically a prequel to the rapture. And then the Days of Elijah picks up at the rapture. I did a series called The Economic Collapse Chronicles, and that is self-explanatory. And then my EMP series is called Seven Cows Ugly and Gone.
Seven. That's it. Yep.
And then this April,
Love your books. Your books need to be read by everyone. And the reason why is not just the story, but as the characters of your book are going through these, disasters or situations, your mind starts to think, what would I do? Am I prepared for that? And that helps the preparedness people and people that are getting ready for, the end of days, the times to come. It helps us to think through what we would do, what things that we should put back. I'm telling you, it's an education, but yet it's a story you've kind of made up in your head. And it's so cool how you can take what someone else writes, like you did in all, my favorite series. I mean, The Days of Noah was just awesome. And then how it continued with the same character. I loved it. But the education you get from reading it is just, you don't even know how much you're learning by just reading the book.
Oh, thank you, Forrest. I'm glad you're enjoying the books. I've got another series coming out this April. It's going to be called Avaris Crucible. And it's basically a civil war in America. You know, the last election we saw in 2016 was absolutely the most contentious ever. And since then, things have certainly not cooled off at all. And we're watching it right now. The left that says, we want the guns, and the right that's saying, we're not going to give them up. And that's a very, very contentious issue right there between the left and the right. And in the book, we see people where Ava, she's the main character. And, and she's got friends that are, at work that are kind of liberal, and then as you see things devolve and you see to where, they're trying to be friends and avoid political issues, at some level, when things start to break down, that friendship breaks down as well, and she has to make some choices. And and Ava's coming into it. She's had a hard life. She's her father stepped out for the sweet young thing at the office, and her mother's just recently passed away, and so she's kind of out on her own and having trust issues with men because of what happened with her father, and then some stuff happens at her church that makes things even tougher for her, and so it's I think it's definitely the best series I've ever written, and so folks that like my books, I think you'll probably really enjoy this one. And like I said, it's very, very culturally significant because of what's going on with the breakdown between the left and the right, and we're seeing the rise of Antifa, and of course they're a major player in the book, and we sort of see where their funding's coming from. We've got sort of a George Soros type of a character that's fostering their firearms training and things like that. The far left that wants to get rid of all the guns, of course, we're starting to see now Antifa gearing up with AK-47s and load bearing equipment, and this is real life stuff I'm talking about. And and we're seeing that two sets of rules where they don't want you to have guns, but they want to have them. And while professing to be anti-fascist and wearing very, very similar armbands to what we saw the Nazis wear, and certainly using very, very similar tactics of squashing anybody that disagrees with their narrative.
Okay, I got a question from live on Facebook as you're answering that question. A friend of mine, Joe, wants to know how many books are going to be in that series.
That's going to be a 3-book series.
Have you planned it that far?
Yeah, three book series. Three book series. Uh huh.
Awesome! I can't wait for that one. So let me ask you this, and you know, I hope the audience understands. I get so excited when I talk to you that sometimes, you know, there's maybe not smooth transitions to one question to another. I just feel like I have very little time with you, and I want to get them all out.
My question. Yeah.
So let me. my question that I had, that I actually thought about before the show was, what would you change about the preparedness industry, about people like yourself, I mean, that are kind of leaders, kind of in the industry when it comes to authors? You know the Frank Cortons, you know all these people, the Chris Weatherman. What would you change or wish we would kind of move our ship, I mean, more godly, less godly, more direct, less. I mean, what would you change about the as we go forward in this genre?
There's a lot of literature out there that I hear people say are very, very good stories. I can't read it because of the language, the profanity, and the borderline pornographic sex scenes that are in the books. I can't even read that stuff. You know, the Bible says not to grieve the spirit that's inside you. So, I don't read any of it, because a lot of it's really, really, really filthy. That's my personal conviction. But I would certainly love to see more authors, more prepper survival type authors to take that line. Bobby Akrat is not necessarily probably what you would call a Christian, and he wrote a series, the Boston Brahmin series, that had quite a bit of really salty language. But then he tacked to the right, I would say, and started writing stuff that had no swear words in it, and started trying to make it family friendly, just purely out of a business decision, because he saw how many Christians that read this stuff that were being alienated by that language. And and while it wasn't a particular conviction for him, he just saw the business sense in saying, hey, why don't I produce something that's going to be enjoyable for a wider range? Because, you know, there's really not anybody that's going to say, oh my gosh, that book didn't have one F-bomb in it, I'm not going to read it. Now, my stuff gets a lot of haters because of the biblical content, because people are just allergic to that. You can talk all day about Muhammad and Buddha and whatever the Indian gods are, Shiva or whoever, and that's fine and dandy. Yeah. But you say the name of Jesus and people just, it's that spirit that's on them that's controlling them that just repulses at the name and scripture and things like that, and they can't handle that. And unfortunately, it's a lot of people that will leave reviews that will say, I'm a Christian, but that's too preachy for me. They can't handle that. So my stuff's a little more hard edged Christian very offensive to those that want to, the cockroaches, they don't want to be in the light. They don't want any exposure to the light. So, it's very offensive to those people. Like I said, I don't write any.
Mark, we got 4 minutes left, and I just got another question for you through Facebook. What's the best way to prepare for economic collapse?
I always like to give one good tip anytime I'm on a show, and while money may not be worth much very shortly after a collapse, in the very, very early stages, it's going to be the only thing, because I think the banking system will be locked up. I think you won't be able to get cash out. I think credit cards could possibly be down. There's a lot of different things where credit cards could be down. I think it's a really good idea to keep some portion of your cash at home, and not all of it, because somebody can see you burying it or break in and at gunpoint have you open up your safe or whatever. So, you know, whatever you've got hidden in your house is still at risk. But I think it's also at risk in the bank. So I think you need to have some portion of it in home, in physical cash, where you can get to it. And when you store a large sum of cash and it sits for 6 months or a year, it starts to get stale and starts to get sort of a nasty feel to it and a nasty smell to it. If you'll put that in a food saver or a game saver, any kind of a vacuum sealer bag, that will stop that from happening. And then, of course, if you've got it in a vacuum sealer or whatever like that, you can keep it in your safe. You can keep it in a cash tube and PVC pipe that you've got buried below ground or whatever, and it's going to keep it from getting that stale smell to it. And I think that's something that everybody should do, and that should be in part of everybody's kit, is to have cash at home, because there's banking hacks and there's EMPs and there's economic collapses, and there's so many things that could prevent you from being able to get cash.
Yep. Yeah, that question came from Robert. Thanks, Robert, for that question. I also have a solution. If you would like to store your cash, I will keep it for you.
And you'll vacuum seal it, right?
Yeah, I'll vacuum seal it. I keep gold and silver and ammo. If you feel like you need to turn in your guns, I can take your guns and make sure they're safe for the rest of their life and they won't shoot anyone. But so yeah, I've got solutions for all these things. Hey, Mark, we're down to the last few minutes. I thank you so much. You tell us about how people can get up with you and your books real quick. We got 2 minutes.
All of my books are available on Amazon.com. There's also click-through links to all of them on PrepperRecon.com. I do a podcast there, a new podcast every week. So come over, check out the show, and then you've got the links to click over into the books. And so whether you're interested in economic collapse or EMPs or end times events or the coming civil war in America, I've got books available in paperback, Kindle edition, and audio, because, you know, obviously you've got a lot of podcast listeners here, and a lot of folks that's the only way they can consume books, because they're just too busy. They really not a whole lot of time to sit on the couch and read a book. But lots of folks have got, you know, whether it's a 20-minute commute or an hour at the gym or 2 hours doing lawn work or whatever they happen to be doing, you can put that put your phone on, your smartphone on, and use it for something smart and listen to a good book.
Yep, absolutely. That's I love it. You got one of the best narrators in the industry, Pierce, I think his name is.
Yeah, Kevin Pierce.
Kevin, he is amazing. Makes your books come to life. Love that. Also, you're going to be at Heritage Life Skill Conference in April up in Waynesville, North Carolina. You can go up and you can meet the author. You can meet Mark, get your book signed, buy books there. I'm sure you'll have all your books there for sale as well.
I'm not exhibiting. I might have a few books with me, but it'd be great if anybody that has their books to bring it out, and I'd be happy to sign it.
Well, Jan, I promise you, Jan will have books to sell.
All right, good.
yeah, she's running the conference. I'm sure she'll have them. But hey, thank you so much for coming on to the Prepping Academy. And again, I can't wait to meet you. And thanks again, and God bless you.
Forrest, thanks again for having me.
In the post-apocalyptic thriller, The Economic Collapse Chronicles, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, America is on the cusp of financial annihilation. Matt and Karen Baer thought they were prepared for anything, but can they survive a total collapse of the economic system? If they want to live through the crisis, they'll have to think fast and move quickly. In a world where all the rules have changed and savagery is law, those who hesitate pay with their lives. The Kindle edition of The Economic Collapse Chronicles is now available as a box set. Buy your copy at Amazon.com today.